Is she in the hospital or just at home with antibiotics? Okay. Yeah, there's some bugs, cold viruses and flu bugs going around that are pretty brutal. You don't want the pneumonia one. Well, let's pray for Terry. Let's pray as we start, and then I'll just talk for a while, and then we'll go home. I'll try to explain as much as possible about what we're doing here. So, Father God, we do just thank you. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for this building, this room, this cool weather. In Jesus' name, we ask you, bless us. We ask that by your Spirit, you open our ears, that we may hear from you, learn of you. In Jesus' name, we lift up Terry to you. We pray healing into her body. Steve, healing, complete restoration into his body. In Jesus' name, we just thank you. Thank you for this body of believers, this fellowship which you've called us to serve in, to be a part of. We just, we're grateful, so very grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll try to explain what I think and what Blake and I have discussed, and we think we're going to go about this. We love the Gospels. I don't know. Do you guys understand? When it's a Bible study. It's a midweek Bible study, so it's not church. That's why we're not having worship. But this is our act of worship, right, Stephen? Yeah. Yes, this is our act of worship. Because what is our act of worship? Presenting ourselves wholly to God. And that's what we're doing here tonight, is even there's a presentation to God in our minds to learn of him, to know him. And that is our spiritual act of worship, and so that we can know his will. Amen. I know that there's screens up there. Everybody's looking at the screen and not looking at me. So there you go. It's off now until I'm ready. We are just that way, right? And that's okay. I am too. So Blake and I are going to attempt to tackle is I'm going to go through the parables that Jesus taught through the Gospels. And so this will take some time. It won't be done in a week or two or a month. It's going to take some time, probably all the way into the end of the holidays. And then Blake will pick up again where he left off, which is through the study of Mark. And through the study of Mark, then it goes right into the study of Acts. And so that's super interesting. I know it was getting tough when it started getting hot and to get here when Blake was teaching. But I personally, and it's not a bias, it's a reality of what it was. I loved learning and sitting under Blake's teaching. I don't know if you didn't get a chance to. It was really thorough, not just enjoyable, but it was very, I learned a lot every week. Yeah, and it was great. So it's not as though we feel we need to change it and not, we have a lot coming up. The end of the year for Blake is... It's tax season, yippee-ki-yay. Yeah. Which I only worry about it all year. He only gets it. I'm just kidding. No, he gets bombarded and flooded with, oh, did I lose it? Oh, man. Yeah, it's gone. That's all right. My phone has... Or my iPad. I'm using an iPad. And I'm going to do something, I think, a little bit different tonight as we talk through the parables. I want us to, I feel like, get an understanding of why Jesus taught in parables, first and foremost. So we might spend all evening talking about that. Because we have some verses in the Bible that Jesus actually addresses that very question. Why are you teaching in parables? And we'll talk about that. And I think it's some... interesting answers that Jesus gave, and I think we need to know why he said what he said and what he said, actually, so and why it's for us to understand what he was talking about, right? Does everybody have a complete, fully understanding of why Jesus taught it in parables? Okay, good. So then we're going to get somewhere tonight. So let's do this. Come and hook me back up. I have no idea what you guys did. It's my bad. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
No, do I have to unlock it?
Yeah, go ahead and unlock it.
There you go.
I don't know if it'll let me in or don't.
Oh.
I'm doing something on the iPad or on the Apple TV first.
Oh. There we go. Cool. Hello. All these notifications will keep popping up. You get into my personal life. I have no idea how these things, I don't know how to shut them off. I don't care. Don't come up here and try to tell me how to do it. Because I like some of them. It tells me when the Giants score, which is all right. Matthew 13, starting in verse 10. Of course, you'll discover, hey, look at that, a subtitle. The purpose of parables. How easy is that? Let's just figure it out then, right? This is right after Jesus told the parable of the sower. I think I've taught from the parable of the sower multiple, many, many times, not just from Sunday morning, but even on our study nights. But this is one portion that it seems as though I don't really get it because it doesn't bring about a lot of, this isn't good preaching material, the purpose of parables. The parables themselves are, but this purpose, I think, is good. It's a good Bible study start as to why Jesus taught in parables. So I'm just going to start off and go for it. This is, again, right after he told the parable of the sower. It says, then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has more, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Does everybody get that? Isn't it awesome? It's almost as though he's like, he gave them a parable as to why they are speaking in parables, even though it's not a parable. He just gave them a riddle. It's, do you guys read it that way? I'm like, that's like a riddle. But it has a point to it. But then he says it. This is why I speak to them in parables. So I'm going to read the whole passage. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their eyes, well, I'm sorry, with their ears, they can barely hear, and with their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Interesting. Now does everybody know why Jesus taught in parables? So let's discuss it for a little bit. I think that there's a... Not that I think. I see the writing on the wall that Jesus is speaking to us, and he's speaking to his disciples. Remember, he's speaking specifically and directly to his disciples. They came to him in private. It was almost after he had taught this parable. They came to them, and he said, why are you teaching like this? Remember, this wasn't common. It wasn't a common way of teaching, because have you ever... And I'm going to get into a little bit of a conversation. So join with me in this. Have you ever wondered why we do church the way we do church? And why does a preacher, pastor, speaker get up and speak and not just read the Bible in front of everybody? Because that was the format before Jesus came along. In fact, Jesus aligned himself with it. You guys remember that, right? Jesus, when he came into the temple, he just opened up the book because it was his time to read, and he just read from the book of Isaiah. Remember that? That was the practice. That wasn't uncommon. They just got up and read from the scriptures. There wasn't much expounding on it. There wasn't much that was said about it. They just read from the scriptures, and they read of the law. You guys understand where I'm going with this a little bit, or following with me? So when we do church like we do in our society, our culture, and it's not just a Western culture thing, it is how church, I believe, is actually set up and formatted all over the world, is you have a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, a speaker, a prophet, an evangelist get up and maybe expound on a couple of verses or passages of scripture or a passage, and then they teach from that. You guys understand that? So the format is really taken after what Jesus laid out, as so that we can understand, so that the people can understand. You guys get that? I like that because I question that. I question that quite often in my own self and as I pastor and preach. Sometimes I feel just compelled. All I want to do is just read the Bible to because that's where the power is. That's where the meat is. That's where the actual work and the action is happening, is the Word of God is alive and active and has the power to penetrate and divide the motives of our heart. So why not just read the Word of God? I ask myself that. And then the Lord doesn't let me ever do that, just even though you'll find that I've probably am somebody that reads more scripture on a Sunday than probably most pastors that I listen to. And I'm not, that's just me, I think. But as I'm looking into why we teach this way, why Jesus taught this way, do you see like the handwriting on the wall, what Jesus is mostly interested in the understanding of parables for us as his people? Does anybody see it a little bit? The word is spoken of there a couple of times, and it's the word heart, because he's talking about them being dull of heart, hard of heart. And then he says, if you turn your heart to me, you will see and understand. You guys get that? Where did that go? There it is, verse 15. For this people's heart has grown dull, their ears they can barely hear. But blessed are your eyes and your ears. Okay. I'm sorry. Dry mouth. I don't know. I talk a lot and get dry mouth. I don't think the answer is to not talk a lot. It's just wet my mouth. Yeah. There's a phrase that I heard the other day, and I really like it, and I think I not just like it, but I agree with it, is when we develop a right standing with God from any place but a relationship with God, we develop what is called religion, and we work that. We will work a religious work in us as opposed to a relationship with God. Let me expound on that a little bit more. If we think that we can be pleasing to God by following principles without a relationship, we miss the entire principle of the scriptures. It's kind of like what Jesus said. You think that you can find God by searching out the scriptures, and yet you refuse to come to me, who the scriptures all write about. So Jesus is implementing what is a little bit, it's actually very new to God followers, is an intimate relationship with God is what mostly matters. Not just mostly, but it's all that matters. And see where the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the Sadducees, where they were coming from was a place of you got to do 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6, all the way up to 600 and something, and then you might be right with God. A bunch of principles. Let's apply principles so that we can... And how many of you understand that as like that's... And you actually can relate to that. We can relate to that. Like a list. Give me a list, 1, 2, 3 to do, and I'll be just fine. Right? And some of us have a short attention span, and a list has got to be one. And then maybe another one. But I think that that's a place that where we, and I'm not knocking on that personal trait of needing to go off lists. That's not it at all. But where we have devised in ourselves, within ourselves, this, I think it's a religious working within us that if I apply all the right principles to my life, there I will stand right with God. And see, that's what Jesus is totally shaken up. That's why he says, I'm going to teach in parables. Because in parables, there are no 1, 2, 3 principles. In parables, there is a theme. There's an understanding. There's something that I'm trying to teach. There's a point that I'm making that you must look into your very heart, think with your mind, and commit to understanding with your soul. And then you will hear and see and perceive all that I'm teaching. And I love that. I think that's awesome. I don't know. That's the way Jesus did it. And I think that's why we do what we do in church. You guys with me? Any questions or comments or thoughts? Or? Yeah. Yeah.
Paul's writings are basically, I spent 3 years in the desert with Jesus, here's what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Not, here's what he did to do as a Christian, but here's what Jesus wants to tell
me. Amen, amen. And you know, isn't it, and maybe I recognize and I notice these things in Paul's writings. There's, in almost every one of his letters that he writes, at some point he gives a kind of a to-do list or a, it's more like instructions on how to be, whether it's right with God, Christian, giving with God, fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, loving your wife and loving your husband, marriage, children, all the... He gives these instructions on what to do in those areas, right? You guys recognize that in Paul's writings? And they're... To me, those are the... That's the milk of the word, because it's so cut and dry. It's just, you know, where he says it, just love your wife as Christ loved the church. Submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. That's... Bam, bam, right? Easy. I mean, it's not just because it's said so easily doesn't mean it's done so easily, but it's at least I get that. But then there's so much of what Paul writes that's got some depth to it. If you guys remember, I think it's, and I'm not going to pop it up because it'll probably mess up my, it's, I think it's 2 Peter 3, like 16, it says, where Peter is referring to Paul's writings. He says, He says it in a... Oh, what the heck? I'll pop it up. Give me a second. All right, guys. Twist my arm. Amen. Yeah, yeah.
Here it
Amen. Yeah, so that's why the emphasis isn't on the to-dos. How to speak it, I think, and to say it correctly. In the midst of an intimate relationship with God, you're going to do the to-dos right. And they won't become to-dos by religious works. It won't be the have-to, it will be the get-to. That was a good one.
That was tweetable.
That was good. Sometimes stuff comes out that I didn't plan to say that's really good. I got like, how do I log that in and make, I don't know. Weird stuff that goes on in my head, guys. It's crazy. Thanks for everybody coming out tonight, too. It's a nice night. And that's what Jesus is getting us to. That's why I love this so much. I love the parables. I love what he teaches in them. The parables are interesting, aren't they? I'm going to give you, R.T. Kendall writes a book about the parables. Anybody know who R.T. Kendall is? It's okay if you do or don't. He's an author, writer, / former Baptist preacher that turned spirit-filled Pentecostal. And it's pretty awesome because he's got the foundation of the Baptist theology, but then he's got the Holy Spirit. He wrote, it's one of my favorite. It's a book that I like a lot. It's called Holy Fire. It's really good. If you haven't read R.T. Kendall's Holy Fire, it's really good. Holy Fire. Holy Fire. Yeah, I gave it to one of my Baptist pastor friends. Said, here's a book I want you to read. And he liked it. He said, I thought it was really good all the way till the end. And it's like, that was the part where it was a challenge to be filled with the Spirit yourself. You know, so it was really good. We're still really good friends, by the way. Yeah. I didn't run him off. but he writes a book about parables. So I'm going to actually, what I'm going to do, this is the new part of what I think I'm going to try to do tonight. He refers to the principles of parables. So, to read an actual book that I can't enlarge, there you go. I got to put these on. Yeah. My wife's the only one that laughs at me, even though she sees me with them all the time. I haven't put them on. Oh, thank you, guys. Okay. Oh, you're actually laughing. Thank you. That's okay. I was fine until I hit 51. Yeah. It gets worse? Gosh. Yeah, these are like 1.25 or something, so these are... But they really help. I was like, oh my gosh, the words aren't blurry anymore. So I'm going to... Really what I'm going to do is I'm going to type out these because there's three principles that I think are very key to understanding the parables. So as I type them out, you'll be able to see them, and that's the only reason I'm doing it, so you could actually see it also. These three main principles, they'll guide us. They'll be useful in ways to have these in your mind, have them in your notes as you study, absorb the truths of what Jesus is imparting through the parables. Principle one, and this is, it's not, they're not simple, or they're not just like, okay, yeah, it's all about this. So I'm going to type it out, so follow with me. Not all, if I can type very fast, not all, wait. You know what, just hold on. Not all parables. This is just, it's A-OK, point two. There you go. See, look at, you fix it. To the same truth. Get it? Not all parables point to the same truth. Really? Is that better? Yeah. We're figuring it out, okay, guys? not all parables point to the same truth. So some speak primarily about the work of the Spirit. Some teach about eschatology. Eschatology, the last days, last things. Eschatology is referring to last things. Some talk about our growth as Christians and our commitment to the Lord. So not all parables point to the same truth. That's important to understand. So you can learn different truths from different parables. Yeah, understand that, right? Okay. Oh, what happened there? How come it's not in bold again? Okay, I'm learning this. There we go. You guys with me? Yeah, there we go. They did it. Can you see it okay? All right, I know. Forgive me, guys, for being not spending. All right. Why are you laughing? I thought this was going to be a good idea. Let me start over. Okay. Often, a parable will have only one basic truth in mind. So let me write that down. I'm only doing this for your sake, so you can easily note it. Often, a parable. Okay, gotcha. Thank you. Thank you for that little pointer. Not often. Wait, where did I leave off? Often, a parable will. I should ought to just screenshot it, huh? One basic truth. And what that means is it's teaching one point as Jesus is teaching this. Okay? We need to try not to read more into the parable than Jesus is teaching into the parable. One of the things that you don't want to do also in learning the parables is take a small chunk out of the parable of like what he's teaching and apply it to something else. You need to understand the whole, the entirety of the parable, because that's what Jesus is meaning for us to understand, is the entirety of it, the point of it. So we need to understand that it has typically one basic truth in mind, and that's helpful to understand, because then it's. Exactly. Exactly. And so you'll find that's why it's important to understand in the context of why Jesus told the parable, who he was speaking the parable to. Was he speaking this to the disciples, his followers? Was he speaking when Blake was teaching, was giving us the understanding of Mark, I thought it was interesting to note that, you know, the different context of what Jesus was teaching was either public or private. The private conversations were in the midst, was with his disciples. The public conversations were always a little bit different, always different than the private conversations. So it's important to understand, you know, the context of each parable. So that's why it's important not to just pull one little thing out of it and say it means this or that. No, you got to understand the entirety of a parable, right? That's not too complicated to understand, but it is one that you must, I believe, discipline yourself to follow in that guideline of it's teaching one point, and what is that point? What is the main point? Now, that can be that. Yeah. Amen. Right. Correct. Yes. Exactly.
Jesus,
yeah.
He's taking word first and most, almost. He's not trying to communicate all these ideas. He's trying to communicate. And all of the parables have one gut punch idea, like, here's your neighbor.
Yeah. And I appreciate the places that Jesus would give multiple parables teaching the same point. He does that a few times in that we have recorded in Scripture. You know what's really awesome is, I know this, it's, I'll be careful to say it, and I'll try to say it correctly, but what we have recorded is amazing, and it's enough, right? But we also know that Jesus spoke and taught way more than what is recorded. You guys understand that, right? I mean, he says that there's not enough room in all the books in the entire world that he spoke and taught. That's mind-blowing. I mean, literally mind-blowing, isn't it? When we think about the stuff that Jesus taught, it's like, wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, so when I or a teacher or a preacher get up and speak a story, a relatable incident or situation, I believe what we're doing is tapping into what the Holy Spirit is also speaking into us and through us. And I think that's amazing for us to do. I think we need to do that more often, right? Hey, Danny, good seeing you, bud. Sorry. Oh, you're good. So what I'm encouraging is each and every one of us has stories, has understandings and illustrations that I believe that the Holy Spirit can and does bring to mind to relate the gospel to those that don't know, right? That's awesome. I don't know why that's this really strikes me as like...
They catch your emotional and your feelings.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And I think that is a side note to purpose of the parables also. It relates to where we're at. Jesus' parables that he taught, that he told, were relatable environmental, cultural things that they went through, from planting to sowing to seeding to fishing to all the things that these people did in their culture. He told a story to relate to how God is involved. Yeah.
We all understand the idea of fishing.
Yeah.
Even if we've never fished before, we understand that idea of fishing and not catching something. And we understand those principles. And that is so unique to Jesus, where, you know, you look at something in Priesthood and the Book of Mormon, and it's so culturally irrelevant, and it's only 100 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus 2,000 years ago was able to communicate emotional
Amen. Amen. You know, and I was giggling as you were saying that, because with now officially three teenagers in our home, what was yesterday is so irrelevant today. And that's like, oh my gosh, these kids, Robin and I try to keep up. We have to watch YouTube videos on how to understand what they're saying. Oh, it's true. We do. I'm not joking about it. Yeah. And we're just like, I'm thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep up. This is insane. This stuff there, the language, and it's not bad. It's just so different. And we are just so archaic. It's like, oh my gosh, we are so old. I get told regularly I'm old, and that's okay, because it's true. But it's speaking to the never ending, as Blake said, the word transcendent truths of Scripture that carry from the time they were spoken, written, to today, and all the way. In fact, His word will never end. That's awesome. Yeah. Amen. It really is. That in itself is miraculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Really is amazing. And it's, yeah, couldn't have been done other than God. Yep. Were you going to say something, brother? Oh, okay. What happened? Why did that go away like that? Okay. Three. Oh, there we go. Okay. Could not do it. This is going to bring up some discussion, I think. We must, maybe that's a strong word, never is another strong word. We must never try to, okay. I'm really good at this when I'm yeah, when I'm by myself, typing my notes early in the morning, yeah, we must never try to make a parable. See, how come it's not popping up? All right, there we go. See, there we go. We must never try to make a parable stand on all four legs. What does that mean? That's interesting, huh? What am I saying at that? What is R.T. Kendall saying, and what are we trying to say with this? Because this is important to understand, I believe. Not every detail of the parable has theological meaning. Does that make sense? Jesus is just trying to get us to understand a point. It's about relationship. It's not about a list, and it's not about theology, even though it will be embedded, because Jesus is theology. Everything Jesus says is truth. But it's not as though we take that and we make it stand and say and build and develop a doctrine out of parables. Be really careful to not build doctrine out of parables. Now, is doctrine built into parables? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus taught them. Hello? Does that make sense? So when we're interpreting parables, be careful. I'm going to read what he says here. Be careful to keep the essential truth, what is the point that he's trying to make, in mind. And don't try to build a major doctrine on what may be a secondary detail. Kind of like what Blake referred to as, remember in the parable of the Well, that was, I was thinking, I always call it the parable of the loving father, but it's not that. It's the parable of the prodigal son is what it's labeled as. But even that in itself is like, okay, what is it really about? Is it about the prodigal son or is it about the good father? Well, remember, there's two sons in there. Why is it just the prodigal son parable? That one's always, I think we messed that one up and we confused it, but I think it's about God the Father as opposed to this, the sonship or the prodigal sons. Sorry, Alfonso, go ahead and I'll finish because I got it written down. Well, when we, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I hear what you're asking. Well, yeah, and so, see.
Mm-hmm.
Here, well, I think, and yeah, that's a really good question. I appreciate you asking it that way because I think that's a good point, and it's going in line with what I believe is the purpose of why Jesus taught the parables. It's about relationship. How many of us in our relationship does it grow to different levels in different places? An intimate relationship. So let's pick the relationship with a spouse. Or a child, if you don't have a spouse, and that's, but that relationship is always at different levels in growth, is it not? Now, what was in the at a level way back when we first met was it's at a different level now that we've been married for 32 years. So what was then is still then, but it was still true then. But now there's a level of understanding and maturity and understanding that same truth now. Because of the more intimate that I am with my wife or my God, right? So that's a good question, but I believe the question is also, Blake answered it right, yes and no. It's still true, it's been interpreted, but does it mean that there's still more understanding for me to grow and develop and get from it at my level of intimacy with God right now? And I think that's why, when Jesus said it, remember what he said against those that he said, the reason I teach these parables is to them. And it's one of the few places that Jesus distinguishes between them and us kind of thing. And, you know, and I know that's like, oh, that's so taboo. You can't say them and us, you know, in our, you know, diverse culture and all accepting culture. But Jesus said it. And he said, they will be ever learning and never able to understand. Now that's an interesting thing to say against somebody that's learning, that's gaining knowledge, but yet not knowing God. So that's why the parables are always going to give us, even as I go through these, you know, this season, I am 100% because I know my God and I know me and I know my relationship with my God. I am 100% confident that I will learn more about these parables as I teach them, even though I understand them fully. I think. Does that make sense? So I'm excited to go along this journey with you all too, because I'm excited about it, about going through this. I really am. I love it. I know that it will get understanding in regards to, so that's a really good question, because that really is like, because as we think about it, it's like, well, wait, shouldn't we already know what they mean? Why do we have to go over it again? Well, it's kind of like all of Scripture and all of relationship with God is, I go over it again and I get something different every time. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. There is. Yeah, and it's I don't even as I believe, because I know it's true. It's, you know, you guys understand why I say that. It's not true because I believe it. I believe because I know it's true, that as we grow and as we learn and as we search and unpack and unravel and really dive into these parables, you'll grow. You'll get something out of it this time, but don't think that you know what it means and think that you now you don't have to look at them again. To me, the parables are some of the funnest things to look at in Scripture. I don't know. I just enjoy them. I love just unpacking them. They take time. They take work. They take some effort on my part to dig in and find out what it is and what is speaking to me now or to us as a church now. And some of them are, they apply like right here, right now to something that's going on in my life or in our church or in our city or our country or our world right now. And some of them are like, okay, that has no bearing on anything right now and what I'm dealing with. And that's okay. That's okay, right? Amen? All right. So you guys want to dig into one real quick? As a question. Okay. Where did I go? Okay, let's go now. See, we were reading out of Matthew. Whoops, yeah. Matthew 13. Remember, it was the teaching of the parable of the sower. And then in the midst of there, he answers the disciples' questions. He explains the sower parable. I'm not going to touch that one at all right now because that's going to take a full evening or two. But then he talks about this parable of the weeds. And I think that's a fun one to look into. That brings up a lot of interesting discussion. And then he talks about this one. And you notice he refers to the parables. It's an understanding. He always says the kingdom of heaven in almost is like. Talks about a mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed. I like that. I like the grain of mustard seed parable. Not going to talk about that one. How about this one, though? This nice little short one. One sentence. Verse 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. That's it. That's awesome. Some of these I'm thinking, what? Now, if you're like me and you're, well, that was a silly thing to say. I'm sorry for saying it, but you'll read something like that, and because it's like, so like, what is he saying? You just keep reading and you move on. Does anybody do that? I don't know what he's talking about. I'll go back to that one, right? So let's unwrap it. Let's see what he's talking about here, I believe. I think it's interesting. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now, referring to kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Leaven is an interesting thing for Jesus to refer it to, because leaven, so much of the time when it's referred to what? Sin. So what's he saying? Is the kingdom of heaven is like sin? If we apply what, that's why we got to be careful. Remember, you got to get what he's teaching here. Don't make a doctrine out of it. Don't take one detail and apply it and say, oh, well, that's what it's got to be that, because leaven is always referred to sin. Yeah. It's the point. What's the point that he's referring to here? So let's talk about it. You guys ready? I think this is awesome, because I believe it's what, if I was going to teach on a first one, this would be it. Because what does leaven do?
It expands.
It expands. Okay. Okay. Raises. How about this? Leaven leaven, let's talk about it. Does anybody understand what leaven is? Probably better than I do, other than just reading about it.
Leaven is a
bacteria. It's a bacteria. It's a fungus. It's a disgusting bacteria that grows on a host. Yeast, have you ever just taken a... No, you have not. Nobody's ever... You're taking a spoonful of yeast. It's disgusting. Right? No, but here's what this is... But so it's almost a paradox that Jesus is teaching, because first of all, he's smashing the whole idea of leaven being sin, and then he's using something that is... It's a product, or it's a... It's not a product. I mean, we buy it as a product, right? But... Then it was, this was a fungus that they used. They put it into flour or dough to leaven it. And what does it do? How does it work? How does this, what's the purpose of it? Makes it light. Okay. Okay. That was good. Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's an interesting thing that yeah, and thank you, Kathy, for bringing that up, because if you don't have it, you can't get it. You can't just like, you know, get it from, you ought to have it. It's going to come from something, and so you have to get this. So it requires an outward work influence of, exactly, and it's a bacteria that you infiltrate. And here's, it's unnatural to the flower. They're not meant to go together. I don't know if you realize that or not either, but leaven and flour aren't meant to go together. So what do you have to do? You have to work it in. You have to knead it in. You have to, right? Hello? Isn't this awesome? I love this, because that's what he's doing here. He's telling us this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like leaven. You got to work it in. You got to work the spiritual into the natural, so much so that it's melded in there, it's worked in there, and it's a part of it, and it has to have time to just sit and fester. It takes time, and it takes work, it takes effort, and it takes a partnership. It takes all of the above for it to actually do what it's supposed to do. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I want to wave a magic wand over my head and say, do, be Christian and be good and be godly. No, it doesn't work like that. That's what Jesus is telling us, is the kingdom of heaven is not a magic trick, and it's not easy, and it's not natural. But it's really, really good. Because, yes, leavened bread is way better. I mean, isn't a loaf of bread just so much more tasty than a cracker? Yeah. It's alive. Does anybody else get freaked out of buying? I saw it, and the only reason I can, because I saw it, my wife takes these probiotics. It just freaks me out to read on there, 10 billion active cultures. I'm like, what? What is that? That's freaking me out. Like, you're taking this, and what is this doing? Active cultures that I'm taking a pill form to, anyway, to... It, maybe it should move on, but that's what leaven is doing. It's a life force that's working within, and that's also, I think, the key theme to what he's teaching us here is leaven works from within, and it produces an outward result, right? And what else? What are the other things about leaven? Because it fits in the theme of what the kingdom of heaven is like. What are some of the other characteristics of leaven? Or yeast. If we want to call it yeast, we can call it yeast so that we understand it as what he's talking about. It'll die if it's not fed. So if it doesn't have a host, it won't survive. It will not live, correct? Yeah. But it also takes time, and it takes work. It takes effort. Have you ever noticed, too? Go ahead, Kat. Are you Googling it?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's right. Correct, isn't it? You keep it in the fridge, what's it going to do? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. So get off our cold-hearted butts and get moving. It's got to be warm. Okay. That's good, Tori. I like that. That's really good. In fact, that's exactly, I think, it falls in line with what he's talking about. The theme of the point that he's making. It's also quiet. Silent. Leaven is silent. In fact, Scripture refers to it as the leaven being silent. It works within the heart, and it works within our very soul. The kingdom of God works within us, and it produces an outward result, but it's that thing that's working within us that I believe, and it's also referring to this, is it's a focus on the small things, needing, working the small things into your very life, into your soul, into your mind, into your spirit, working the small things, the trusting God with my finances, the trusting God with my marriage relationship, the trusting God with my children, the trusting God with my work issues, and then the trusting God with my issues, my deep-rooted issues that keep coming up. And God says, just keep kneading the leaven. Just keep working it in you, and I'll do the work from within, and there'll be an outward result. Isn't that awesome? I think there's a power in it. It's a powerful process too. some of the things I think we've talked about this. It's spreads. It's strong. A very small amount has a powerful impact. It just takes a tiny bit to make a difference in a large lump of dough. Now that's encouraging simply because I don't know about you, and I know about a lot of us, is it doesn't matter the size of my issues, my problems, my past, a little bit of leaven can fix it. That's awesome. A little bit of God is all we need. Now I know there's the teaching of the mustard seed. That's a little bit different one, and I think we could go into that one on another time, because I think the mustard seed is that it's more of an outward work that we do. I'll talk about the mustard seed another time. Let's focus on the leaven. Even though we can't see what's happening, this is something I think to remember. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour. You know, we need to trust that God is doing kingdom work in each other also. Just because you may not see something that you think you ought to see in somebody, trust that God is doing a kingdom work in that person. Amen? And I think it's as we trust, we align ourselves in prayer and support and encouragement in what God is doing in each other. Not just ourselves. And sometimes we need that, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like God's just left me, and I'm here trying to figure this all out on my own, and I need somebody to encourage me to say, no, God hasn't left you, he's still with you, you're doing all right, you're going in the right direction. Hello? Am I the only one that needs that? I guess no. I think we all need that. We need that from each other, and we need to do that for each other. you know, when it's a private secret thing that what God is doing that has a public result, right? Other aspects of it. Yes, go ahead. Somebody had a comment. No, and that's a place that I think that it's not the point of it. Yeah, which is really good. The three measures of flour, I've heard people talk about it and try to bring stuff into that it means. It's an understanding. I believe it's the theme of what he's talking about, unless somebody wants to correct me, it takes a tiny bit, a little bit, to work in a large amount. And whatever it is, it's like we could, you know, three measures is a big, it's a heaping amount. And all it takes, yeah, that's a lot. So it basically, a little bit of leaven go a longeth way. And that's the kingdom of heaven work. And that was the theme of it too, is the point of it is, the size of our issues, don't focus on the size of your issue. Get focused on the bigness of our God, who is capable of taking care of any of it and all of it. Little by little, step by step, but we can't forget all of the aspects of it. There's a kneading that needs to be involved. And kneading to me sounds a little bit painful. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, like, working it in there. Like, you ever seen them knead, like, pizza dough? They beat the crud out of that stuff, right? And they just beat it to where it's like, oh, this is, they're just beating it and beating it to where it's worked throughout the whole lump. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeast, it takes time. So we must be patient with ourselves and be patient with others, that God is doing a good work. Amen? Amen. You know, I'll finish on this one last thing, and I'll read something out of here that I think is pretty cool. It's just a nice little... You ever smelt fresh bread cooking? Oh, man. Doesn't it just, I mean, next to bacon, it's like right up there. There's something about it that is an aroma, a savory aroma that attracts all and makes all hungry for what is being cooked. Hello? Isn't that cool? When we are really working as the kingdom of God, he's talking about, when we're letting God work within us, we have an aroma that is so delightful and savory to those that don't know him, that they're drawn and want some. I mean, I don't know about you, but whenever I smell somebody cooking some bread, it's like, oh my gosh, I just got to get it. I got to get it. Where's it at? I got to find it. Hello? Right? So that's also what he's talking about. Is like that savory aroma is what Paul referred to us. We are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. We're the smell of Jesus. That's cool. Can I read a story real quick? You guys okay with that? We got enough time. We don't necessarily have to go to 8:30 every night, but let me read this story. You guys with me? Yeah. All right, cool. It's only a couple paragraphs long. So let me... Oh God, I don't know about this chair. It kind of makes my legs go numb sitting in it funny. I'll sit back and read. Now I can sit back. In the city of Chicago, one cold, dark night, a blizzard was setting in. A little boy was selling newspapers on the corner. People were inside, out of the cold, and the little boy was so cold that he really wasn't trying to sell many papers. He walked up to a policeman and said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to sleep tonight, would you? You see, I sleep in a box up around the corner there and down the alley, and it is awful cold. It sure would be nice to have a warm place to stay." The policeman looked down at the little boy and said, "Well, I tell you what to do. You go down the street to that big white house and knock on the door. And when they come out of the door, just say, 3:16, and they will let you in." So the boy did. He walked up and steps to the door and knocked, and a lady answered, and he looked up and said, "3:16. The lady said, "Come on in." She took him in, sat him down and on a split-bottom rocker in front of a great big fireplace, and left. He sat there for a while and thought to himself, "3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a cold boy warm." Later, she came back and asked him, "Are you hungry?" He said, "Well, just a little. I haven't eaten in a couple days, and I guess I could stand a little bit of food." The lady took him into the kitchen and sat him down at a table full of wonderful food, and he ate and he ate until, sorry guys, where did I leave off? Until he couldn't eat anymore. And then he thought to himself, "3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a hungry boy full." She took him upstairs to a bathroom with a huge bathtub filled with warm water. He sat there and soaked for a while. As he soaked, he thought to himself, "3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy clean." The lady came in and got him, took him to a room and tucked him into an old feather bed, pulled the covers up around the neck and kissed him goodnight. She turned out the lights, and as he lay there in the darkness, he looked out the window and saw the snow coming down on a cold night. And he thought to himself, "3:16, I still don't understand, but it sure makes a tired boy rested." The next morning, she came up and took him down again, the same big table full of food. And after he ate, she took him back to the same old split-bottom rocker in front of the fireplace. She got a Bible, sat down, and said, "Do you understand John 3:16? "No, ma'am, I don't. The first time I ever heard it was last night when the policeman said to use it." She opened the Bible to John 3:16 and began to explain to him about Jesus. Right there in front of that fireplace, he gave his heart and life to Jesus. He sat there and thought, "3:16, I don't understand, but it sure makes a lost boy feel safe." That's a pretty cool story. Anybody heard that story before?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for patronizing me and listening. Yeah. So here's what R.T. Kendall, he says, "The yeast in the flour is a mystery. How does it work? All we know is that Jesus said the kingdom of God is like that. A woman took the yeast and mixed it into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is how the Holy Spirit works when he comes in us. Don't try to figure it out too much. Just thank God that it works." Amen. So yes, we will understand, we will believe, we will know, we will grow, and then tomorrow we'll do it all over again. That's the kingdom of God. All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. This time that we get to come together in the presence of you. We ask, Jesus, that you continue to work in us. We know that you are at work in each of us. And we are so grateful, so thankful. Even when we may not recognize and see the work you're doing, we know that you're needing, you're doing the work that needs to be done. And we ask in Jesus' name that you hold us steady, that we may put off the aroma of Christ, that many would be drawn to you. In Jesus' name, bless us, protect us, be with us. go before us, go behind us, go around us. Thank you for being within us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Next week, we'll be back. I'll be here. I know, huh? It's like really not that.